Turn with me in your Bibles this morning, the book of Matthew, and the 24th chapter. Book of Matthew, the 24th chapter. We want to continue making our way through this 24th chapter. Important chapter. Important questions were asked Jesus. As Jesus and the disciples, specifically the apostles, were leaving the temple in Jerusalem, and the apostles pointed out the beauty and the magnificence of the temple and the building surrounded it. And Jesus comments to them, "You behold the beauty and the magnificence of this temple, these buildings. But I say unto you, there not one stone remain upon another." In other words, it's going to be leveled. It's going to be destroyed. Not just the temple, but the city of Jerusalem, which was accomplished in 70 AD under Caesar, when he sent Titus in to destroy the city and the temple and everything in it. But as Jesus and the apostles were ascending up the Mount of Olives, they asked him, "When will these be? When will this take place? And what shall be the sign of thy coming?" That's important. "What shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the age?" And Jesus began to answer them and tell them when these things would take place. He said, "You need to be on guard. You need to beware, because there are going to be many that come in my name saying, 'I am Christ.' And they shall deceive many." He said, "You'll hear of wars and rumors of wars and nations rising against nations and kingdoms against kingdoms, famines, pestilence." The word pestilence there means disease, global pandemics, earthquakes. We know that it's global pandemic, and we know the earthquakes are global because the next statement says that it shall be in divers places. It shall be in every place. In every place there will be famines. Every place there will be pestilence. Every place there will be earthquakes. And he says all these things are just the beginning of birth pains. Just the beginning of sorrow. Just the beginning. That word sorrow there means birth pains. That's what it really means in the Greek. Every woman knows those beginning pains, and while those pains are hard, and I'm sure every woman knows there's much worse to come once those pains start. And that's what Jesus was saying here. These things here that I've told you before this verse, they're just the beginning. It's going to get worse. It's going to get much worse. He says, there are going to be many that are going to be offended of you. They're going to be offended of you because you're preaching my word. Because you're not only preaching my word, but you're living it in your lives. And we found by doing a comparison of the synoptic gospels there, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that he was referring to those in their own families, in our own families, are going to be offended, and they're going to betray us to one another before others. And he said, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. We have many false prophets since the days of Christ have come on the scene and come and gone, and we have many today. How they are increased today in our land. They name the name of Christ, but they don't preach and teach the doctrine of Christ. They are false prophets. And they deceive many. We can look about us. We can look about our country. We can look about the world. And many are deceived by their teachings, so that they mass many people to listen to them, to hear them. And he said, and because iniquity shall abound. As we looked into that word iniquity, we saw that it meant lawlessness. And because lawlessness shall abound, that is, they're anti-God's law. Well, we've seen that in the last several years, haven't we? Here in this country, wanting to tear down God's law. This country was founded. And our forefathers had the insight and revered God enough that they set up the governing principles, the governing laws based upon the Word of God. And our people today are striving to remove that from our judicial system, remove that from our land. And because the lawlessness shall abound, and not, you see, when you disregard God's law, you disregard man's law. And every man becomes a law unto himself. Can't we see that in society today? Sure, we see that in society today. And it said, because this condition will exist, the love of many shall grow cold. There won't be love for one another as there ought to be, even among so-called Christians. There won't be the love that there should be manifested one to another. But he that is saved, he said, shall endure to the end. He that is really and truly saved is going to endure. Why? Because God is preserving him. It is God that saved him, and it is God that is keeping him. And he is going to endure until the day he dies. The gospel of the kingdom is going to be preached again. The gospel of the kingdom was preached in the days of the apostles. While Jesus was here on earth, they were to go to every city of the house of Israel, but not unto the Gentiles. After Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, then they were to go into all the world, and it became the gospel of grace that was preached. The gospel of the kingdom simply says, repent. Repent and believe the gospel, for the king is coming soon. Well, that's going to be taken up again during the tribulation period, and it will become the gospel of the kingdom again, only this time it will not be preached to the Jew only, but it will be preached to the whole world. Repent and believe the gospel. Believe the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's coming soon. And it will be real soon at that point in time. He said, In verse 15, beginning the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period, he said, when you see the abomination of desolation, enter into standing where he ought not to be. Where's that? In the most holy place. Standing there in the most holy place, place that he ought not to be. Then he said, flee. Those that are in Judea, in Jerusalem, flee to the mountains. Take cover. Heed. Take heed. Why? He told him not only to flee, but he said, flee. How imperative is it that I flee? Don't take time to gather anything to take with you. If you're on the housetop, go down the outside stairs and get out of there. If you're out in the field working, don't return to the house to get more clothes. You leave with what's on your back. He said, pity the mother that's with child. Pity the mother that is giving suck. He said, pray that your flight doesn't have to occur on the Sabbath. Pray that your flight doesn't have to occur in the wintertime. You see, all those things that the pregnant mother and the Sabbath and the winter would impede their flight, would delay their flight. And it's imperative that they flee to the mountains, to the caves, and hide themselves. He said in verse 21, he said, for then shall be great tribulation, great trouble, great affliction, such as the world has never seen before. You think about that. The world has seen many atrocities over 6,000 years plus. It's only 6,000 years plus. If you believe God's word, seen many atrocities against man. But these days, the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period will be such as the world has never seen before, nor ever will see again. And then last week, we looked at the thought of it's going to be a time that if it was allowed to persist, all flesh, man and beast, would be annihilated from the earth. I mean, men of work during the, nuclear power, men have worried about the fact that some idiot might blow up the whole world and destroy everything living in it. Well, if this condition were to persist during the tribulation period, that's exactly what would happen. All life would be extinguished. But Jesus said, because of the elect saved, those days would be shortened. So that didn't happen. And all because of the sake of his people. Of his people. He said, if any man shall say unto you, lo, Christ is here, or Christ is there, believe it not. For there is going to arise false Christ. False prophets. There's going to be many, and they're going to deceive. And if it were possible, they would even deceive the very elect. But it's not possible, you see. That phrase says, if it were possible, meaning it's not possible to deceive God's elect, not totally and finally until the death. He might be deceived, and we are deceived before salvation. And he might be deceived for a short period of time after his salvation, but won't go to the grave being deceived. It's an impossibility. Because again, the one who is preserving, the one who is keeping him will preserve him. And he will persevere to the end. We come today to our passage of Scripture. Verses 27 through 31. And we begin a new point. We've been dealing with the fact that great trouble is on the horizon. A time of great trouble. And that's down through verses 26. But now verses 27 through 31, we have Christ's visible coming. Christ is visibly coming. Look at verse 27. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from the heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Christ is coming. Thank God he's coming. Listen. To those of us who are saved now, we don't have to worry about the tribulation period. And the 24th chapter of Matthew is not talking about when he comes and raptures us out. It's talking about the second coming, when he comes and visibly to the earth and plants his feet upon the earth. You see, the saved are going to be taken out before the tribulation period, before things get really bad. How bad they're going to get before we're taken out, I don't know. But we're going to be taken out before it gets really bad. We don't have to worry about it. But these that are saved during the tribulation period, they're going to endure much affliction. They're going to endure much trials. But the Lord is preserving them. And thank God, he's coming back and he's going to put an end. He's going to put an end to the great tribulation period. He's going to put an end to the great trouble, to the great affliction. And that great trouble and that great affliction is upon all man, but it is especially upon his people. And he's going to put an end to it. He's going to destroy the wicked, those without Christ, those that are against him. We've mentioned time and time again, week after week, in the reading in the book of the Revelation, all these atrocities that fell upon them, and up to 2/3 of men being killed upon the face of the earth, and in the they blaspheme the name of God and they repent not. They won't repent. They won't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they gather together. They gather against Jerusalem and against Judea to destroy Israel and to do battle against God and His army. God puts an end to them, saving His people and ushering in His millennial reign. Verse 27. And understand that if you're following the sequence of these verses and following the context here, and you get to verse 27 through 31, we have here as plain a reference to the second coming of the Messiah as any other passage of Scripture that we have. And I don't see how men can be so blind to it. Listen, I've read commentary after commentary, and they're blind to it. Even, I'm going to mention a famous one that you all know. John Gill. He's even blind to it. Writer of the 1700s. A Baptist preacher. And he's blind to the truth of this passage of Scripture. But if you've been following us week after week and you see the context here and what is laid out before us, it's a plain reference to the second coming of the Christ, the Messiah. Verse 27, the word "for," it's important. It's "for," it's "because." It's a reason given. This is given as a reason not to believe anyone who says Christ is here or Christ is there. The preceding verses that we looked at last week. For. Because. The coming of. Listen, I want you to note that the coming of these false Christs and these false prophets, is it fictitious? Or is it real? Is it real today? Has it been real since the days of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it real today? Oh, they're real today. It's literal. It's visible. Well, these told about here, the last 3.5 years, the Christ and the false prophets, the Antichrist and his false prophets, they're real. They're not fictitious. The sign of Christ's second coming as well as his coming will be real. It'll be real and literal. It will be visible to all. How many? We're talking about his second coming. When he comes with his armies from heaven and he plants his feet upon the earth, it'll be real and literal and it will be seen by all that are there at that time. Turn with me to the book of Revelation. The book of the Revelation, chapter 1. And look with me here at verse 7. Speaking concerning Christ. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. Who's going to see him? Every eye. Every eye that is alive at that time are going to behold him. They are going to see him. Turn with me back to the book of Exodus. And I want you to notice something just in the way of comparison. Into the 19th chapter of the book of Exodus. And we have what has taken place up to this point is the children of Israel have exited Egypt under the leadership of Moses, who was under the leadership of God. They had miraculously crossed the Red Sea on dry land, witnessed the destruction of the Egyptian army and Pharaoh, witnessed other miracles of the Lord, and they had come to Mount Sinai. And something wonderfully strange happens at Mount Sinai. And notice it in verse 16 of the 19th chapter of Exodus. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. Why did all the people that was in the camp tremble? Because they witnessed, they seen, and they heard. They seen this cloud descend upon the mountain. They witnessed with their hearing, their ears, the sound of the trumpet as thunderings and lightning. And they trembled. Look with me at the 20th chapter now. The 20th chapter. And in verse 18. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. In fact, they said to Moses, we don't want God to speak to us. We want God to speak to you, and you speak to us. But note, the verse tells us that they all saw it. Well, when Jesus Christ comes a second time, the whole world, every eye, is going to see him and is coming. He said in our text, he says, as the lightning cometh. Well, an area that has lightning, how many people see it?
Well, it's visible to all, isn't it?
As the lightning cometh, every eye is going to behold it. Every eye, he's coming. As the lightning cometh. Also, another thing about lightning, consider this about lightning. It comes quickly. It comes quickly. In fact, how quick does it come? Well, if you're out on the golf course and you haven't taken shelter at the sign of a storm coming, it just may strike you. Because you might start to see the flash, but it's so quick, you don't even have time to react. It's quick. It comes like a flash of lightning. It will be sudden. Turn with me to the book of Mark. Mark, the 13th chapter. Of course, Mark is talking about signs and signs of his coming and of the great tribulation and so forth. But
We're going to go on down below that. In verse 36 of the 13th chapter of Mark, we read this concerning the coming of the Lord. In verse 35, he exhorts to watch ye therefore. In other words, be busy about the Lord's business. For you know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight, or at cock crowing, or in the morning. Lest coming suddenly, that is, suddenly, unexpectedly, you and I are there to say, we're to expect his coming every moment of every day. We're to live in the expectation of him. This is important. Lest coming suddenly, like the lightning, cometh, he find you sleeping. In the book of Luke, chapter 2, in verse 13, concerning his first coming to earth, when he first came, and remember the angel announced him coming, and suddenly, Luke chapter 2, verse 13 tells, and suddenly there was a multitude of hosts singing and praising and giving glory to God for the birth of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. His spirit came suddenly on the day of Pentecost in the book of Acts in chapter 2 and in verse 2. And suddenly, the Holy Spirit of God came upon them, and they spoke in tongues. Mighty wonders did they. On the Saul of Tarsus, he's on the road to Damascus. He has letters from principalities, governors, to take all that were following Christ, and Christ was gone, but they believed the doctrine of Christ. They preached the doctrine of Christ, and Paul had letters to take any that were of that the church, he says, and to have them put in prison, have them killed. And Acts chapter 9 and verse 13, Jesus Christ appeared suddenly to him. Suddenly about noon, they're showing round about me a light from heaven and a voice speaking. He said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Thus we have the conversion. It's all. Just as his first coming was suddenly announced, just as his spirit came suddenly on the day of Pentecost, empowering his church, just as the Spirit of God, just as Jesus Christ appeared suddenly to Saul in conversion, just as Jesus Christ appeared suddenly to Seth Bourne in converting him, just as suddenly as Jesus Christ appeared to you in converting you, he's coming again suddenly, as the lightning cometh. That's important for us to know. There'll be no opportunity. There'll be no opportunity for some to tell others where they could see him. Remember, they're saying, lo, he is there. Lo, he is here. In the verses preceding that. There's not going to be time. As the lightning cometh, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. I want you to turn with me in comparison to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 19. And look with me here at verse 11, keeping this thought in your mind. John was given a glorious vision, and he was told to record it. And there was portions of it he was to send to the seven churches, to the pastors of seven churches of Asia. And this is what John recorded that he saw in verse 11. And he said, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. His name is called the Word of God. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. None other than Jesus Christ, who in verse 14 of John chapter 1 tells us, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among men. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ coming, and his name was the Word of God, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Who is the armies in heaven? Well, they're clothed in fine linen, white and clean. In verses preceding this, it tells us that the fine linen, white and clean, is the righteousness of saints. So it's the saints that are coming back with the Lord Jesus Christ in this day, suddenly to appear, this scene, but it takes 5 or 6 verses to tell us what it's going to look like, what the appearance is going to be. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And this coming is going to be suddenly. We're told in Matthew chapter 24, verse 27. Thank God! Thank God that Jesus Christ is coming back to earth. Thank God he's going to put an end to the tribulation of those days. And he is going to rule and reign in righteousness. Thank God. Not going to be a ruler, a king like the wicked kings of the earth that rule. And he's going to rule, his rule is going to be in righteousness. And it's not going to be according to what you think is right and what you think is just and what you think is good. It's going to be according to the standards of God. You see, according to his holy word, according to the Word of God. Back in our text, to the book of Matthew, in chapter 24, in verse 28, I think we got time for this verse. Verse 28, for wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Some have said that this is a difficult verse. I don't see a lot of difficulty in this verse. Not if you're keeping it in the context and following the sequence of things and got a picture of what's going to be at this time. What we just read in the book of Revelation chapter 19, and we'll be reading shortly in the verses following what we read in Revelation 19. If we keep this in mind, it's not that difficult. It doesn't pose a different problem. But in reading commentary, you can't believe the ideas they got out there concerning this verse. And it doesn't make any sense to the context. What's there? Carcass. What's a carcass? It's a dead body. It's a corpse. Dead flesh. Now, what's an eagle? Well, here's where a problem might come. eagles hunt dead carrion? No, eagles prefer their food live. So what is meant by eagle? Well, you look at the Greek word and it literally means eagle. But if you understand the culture, if you understand the bird that was prevalent in Israel at this time, and they call that bird an eagle. It was an eagle vulture. It was a vulture that they called an eagle. That was mighty. Quite big. We know what the buzzards are, turkey buzzards are. Down here, they're big and mighty birds. But they eat dead carrion. That is what this bird, it's a vulture. Vultures are what eat dead carrion. Eat dead corpses, carcasses. You see, where there are dead corpses, you'll find vultures gathered around. I mean, you can see them perched up on the line, but when you see something black up in the middle of the road, you better slow down because there's a bunch of vultures getting something dead off the road. We've all experienced that, seen that. They gather where dead corpses are. The context of this verse is the second coming of Christ. We're right here in the midst of the second coming of Christ. Verse 27 and verses 29, 30, and 31. Definitely talking about the second coming of Christ. So what is verse 28 talking about? It's talking about the time period of the second coming of Christ, is it not? That's what's in the verses preceding, and then the verses succeeding it. This is a scene at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ when He comes to judge the world in righteousness. Now let's turn back to the book of Revelation again in chapter 19. And let's read, continue our reading there. We left off with verse 16. We'll begin it with verse 17. Another thing that John saw concerning Christ coming with His army. In verse 17, and he said, I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast, and the king of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. What we read in the preceding verses. And the beast was taken, that is the beast talked about earlier in Revelation, the Antichrist, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Note verse 21. And the remnant that are left after the Antichrist and the false beast are cast into the lake of fire that burneth with fire and brimstone, the remnant of man and beast that is upon the earth alive at that time, approximately a third of the world's population is left at that time, but they've gathered together against Jerusalem and Judea to battle God. in the people of God. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse. So there's dead corpses everywhere, and the fowls of heaven, all the vulturous type, the flesh-eating type, have been summoned together to that great supper of dead corpses to clean them up. Which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. They had a big feast, didn't they? Does that correspond with our text? You bet it does. Now, turn with me to the book of Ezekiel. Oh, Wednesday night studies from the book of Ezekiel. But we're going to advance. We're going to advance many weeks, many years probably, before we get to the 39th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. But we're going to be there today in the 39th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. Look with me, begin reading with verse 17 and see how that compares with our text and compares with what we have in Revelation 19:17-21. And thou, son of man, who's son of man in Ezekiel? Ezekiel is. He's speaking to Ezekiel. He said, and thou, son of man, thus saith the Lord God, speak unto every feathered fowl and to every beast of the field, assemble yourselves and come gather yourselves on every side to my sacrifice that I do sacrifice for you, even a great sacrifice upon the mountains of Israel, that you may eat flesh and drink blood. Ye shall eat the flesh of the mighty and drink the blood of the princes of the earth, of rams, of lambs, of goats, of bullocks, all of them, fatlings of Bashan. And ye shall eat fat till ye are full, and drink blood till ye be drunken of my sacrifice, which I have sacrificed for you. Thus ye shall be filled at my table with horses and chariots, with mighty men, and with all men of war, saith the Lord God. And I will set my glory among the heathen, and all the heathen shall see my judgment that I have executed, and my hand that I have laid upon them. So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord their God from that day and forward. From that day and forward. And the heathen shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity, because they trespassed against me. Therefore hid I my face from them and gave them into the hand of their enemies. So fell they all by the sword, according to their uncleanness and according to their transgressions have I done unto them and hid my face from them. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, now will I bring again the captivity of Jacob and have mercy upon the whole house of Israel. Remember last week? The whole house of Israel, and will be jealous for my holy name, after that they have borne their shame and all their trespasses whereby they have trespassed against me, when they dwelt safely in their land and none made them afraid, when I have brought them again from the people and gathered them out of their enemies' lands, and am sanctified in them in the sight of many nations. Then shall they know that I am the Lord their God, which caused them to be led into captivity among the heathen. But I have gathered them unto their own land, and have left none of them any more there. Neither will I hide my face any more from them, For I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel, saith the Lord God. You see, our verse, our text verse, is definitely talking about the second coming of the Lord. When the Lord comes from heaven with his mighty army, with his sword that comes out of his mouth, and destroys all the rest of the men upon earth, the wicked upon earth, and the fowls of the air are filled with the flesh thereof. I would not want to be alive at that time. As I said earlier, we that are saved, we're not going to go into the tribulation period. But those who are not saved, those who are not trusting the Lord Jesus Christ wholly, explicitly, no works, it's all by grace. In the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, he has provided everything necessary. There's nothing that you can do to be saved. After hearing just a little bit and parts of what it's going to be like during the tribulation period, and I believe we're getting close to that time, I think I would want to be saved so that I don't go into that awful time, so that I don't meet that awful fate with the rest of them. A fate worse than death. Oh, we've just touched on what they're going to be killed at the coming of the Lord. The Lord's going to kill them. But you go to the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation, and you'll see that those dead then, and all the dead of all the ages that died without Christ, that died in their wicked state, are going to be cast into the lake of fire where the man of sin and the false prophet already are. Where Satan is at that time, they're going to be cast there as well. That'll be a fate far worse than physical death. Oh, but that will determine your fate. What you do now with Jesus Christ determines your fate for eternity. Yes, these will be awful times, but we know according to Scripture, and they repented not. As bad as times get, as bad as times that proceed, it might cause them to tremble. It might cause them to fear, and that lies ahead in the next week or the next week's message. It's going to cause them to tremble. It's going to cause them to fear. But they still will not repent. They will not repent of their sins. To repent of your sins means you're a new creature. You're turning from your life of sin, and you're turning on to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's manifested that you've turned to the Lord Jesus Christ because you're living a new life